Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to the program Today's Issues here on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman, and we appreciate you listening to AFR. Walker Wildman is with me today. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning. Good to be here.
Ed Vitagliano, who's normally with us on Wednesdays, is not here today. Ed will be back with us Tuesday. He's taking a few days off for a little rest and vacation, and maybe he's got a honey-do list. I don't know. but we ask the Lord to be with Ed, and Ed will be back with us on Tuesday following Labor Day. Abraham Hamilton III, also known as Abe, will be with us at the bottom of the hour. A couple things, and Fred Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
Good old Fred's here.
Good old Fred.
With American Family Radio News and OneNewsNow.com. We're going to get to Fred momentarily. A couple things to make note of. One is today at 11:05, like in 1 hour from now, we've got a special radio program.
That's right. Yes, at 11:05 Central today, we have Today's Issues special, In God We Trust. As many of you know, this year, this month, is AFA's 40th anniversary. So for that, we're going to have a special that airs from 11:05 to 11:30 Central today. You'll want to tune into that. It's an In God We Trust special, which celebrates the 40th anniversary of American Family
Association. I hadn't even heard it yet. Have you heard it, Fred?
I have not.
I haven't heard it. Have you heard it, Walker?
I have not.
So, we're going to be hearing it for the first time, too. But, yeah, in case you're wondering, American Family Association was started in 1977 by my dad, Reverend Donald Wildman. Mm-hmm. And from that came American Family Radio, which was birthed in 1991. So, AFA is the parent ministry of AFR. So we have supporters to American Family Association who don't necessarily get the radio network. Mm-hmm. So, but we do have a lot of stations, 184 stations, I think, on the American mm-hmm. Family Radio Network. So that's one thing we wanted to mention before we get to the news of the day. Second thing is, some of you have been asking us, what is American Family Radio going to do to help the people impacted by the storm? And we're going to do something that's unusual for us, and that is, we're going to have a fundraiser for another ministry, and that's coming up next week. We're getting everything together, but we're going to help raise money for the 8 Days of Hope organization, which we've been working with for a number of years now. 8 Days of Hope was birthed by Steve Tiber and his dad in response to Katrina mm-hmm. in 2005. And what began as a few volunteers just going to help do what they could turned into a ministry now that's impacting thousands, has impacted thousands and thousands of lives. They do work almost exactly like Samaritan's Purse does, but they have a good relationship with Samaritan's Purse, by the way. You can never have too many people doing relief work, right? Mm-hmm. So people have asked us, you know, AFR, Tim, who do you all trust that's going to do the work? And not, and we 100% support the ministry 8 Days of Hope. Mm-hmm. They're going to be, Steve was with us yesterday. Was it yesterday?
Monday.
Monday. Mm-hmm. Steve was with us to tell us what they're going to be doing. Going to be going setting up shop down in the Houston area. They help people remodel and restore their homes. That's basically what they do. But they're going to be doing some other things as well. So 8 Days of Hope next week. We're going to have a couple days set aside to raise money for them. And then our listeners, AFR listeners, that call in a pledge, mm-hmm. it'll be a one-time gift. That's all. It's not like Share-a-thon. Mm-hmm. Then we will collect that money and then in turn write 8 Days of Hope a check for whatever comes in. We're not going to take anything. There's not going to be any
honorariums?
Certainly not. Or We're not going to take anything out of that.
Right.
For us, okay? There's going to be no shipping and handling charges.
Everything goes.
Everything that's called in will be in turn.
100%.
Yeah, yes, given to them to do. And the great thing about 8 Days of Hope is they do outstanding work. They have a wonderful reputation. They have a relationship with governors and the FEMA and everybody. So they have a good working relationship with all these other organizations, both government and non-government. Plus, they do this. They do what they do in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So it's not just humanitarian work that they're interested in. They're interested in the souls of the people that they help. And they have ways that they go about ministering to them in that way. So that's coming up next week. I wanted people to understand this is highly unusual for organizations to raise money for other organizations. But this is a highly unusual situation.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And we feel like we need to use the microphone of American Family Radio to do what we can to help raise money for an organization we trust is going to help the people impacted by the storm. Speaking of which, by the way, Port Arthur is underwater.
Port Arthur, yeah.
Did you see that?
Yes.
The mayor says our city's underwater.
Yes. They've got probably another 12 inches of rain coming. Port Arthur is over there in that far southeastern part of Texas.
It's near the Louisiana border.
Very, right. Yeah. Bumps right up against Beaumont, Texas is in that area as well. And then, of course, you move over into Louisiana, Lake Charles. Those are all communities and many other smaller communities in there that are all being impacted by what's left now of Tropical Storm Harvey. And they got about 20 inches in that area overnight when Harvey came back ashore again.
Where? 20 inches? The Port Arthur area? Beaumont?
Beaumont, all in that area. The good news, it's moved away from Houston. There's still a lot of water, of course, in Houston. It's going to be days, weeks, months before full recovery, obviously, in that area. But it is moving off now. The storm is moving off. One of the good things, I was listening to a briefing from the FEMA people this morning. One of the big differences this time around, both in the case of Texas and now Louisiana, FEMA did a lot of work with the help of the governors of those states and obviously with the president in moving teams in advance of the storm arriving on shore. So that, for instance, I heard one example of this morning. They move tanker trucks full of gas into areas so that when the water begins to recede and we start to see roads again, people can get gas and get out and get things, drive to wherever they can, start movement once again. And this didn't happen. You remember with Katrina down on the Mississippi coast, gas, you couldn't find it. And so this time they moved these gas trucks in advance so they can move in. FEMA, likewise, with the necessities of life, water, foodstuffs, that kind of thing. Those were all put in place in some of the outlying areas in advance of Harvey arriving, so now they can move in quickly to begin to help people. Again, listening to this FEMA brief this morning with regards to Texas, they say getting private business back up and running is the major thing. So as they put it, it is so important, they've learned this through the years, to get routine things up and running again, to get private business back up and running again so people can come back to their jobs. Clearing away, getting these, the small businesses back up and running again, clearing the streets, making sure sewer is operating, all of those things we often don't think about. Get those small businesses back in operation again. Also schools. So that, you have tens of thousands of people who have been misplaced, but if you can get schools open so that kids can go to school from these rescue centers, et cetera, refinancing, systems, making it easier for people to get back up and running again. This is what's going to be the task in Texas. And as the storm moves away from Louisiana also. As of this morning, now loss of life, whether it's one person or whatever the case may be, is always tragic. But unlike in Katrina, so far, so far, the official death toll from Harvey is 18 as of this morning. Now, there will likely be more bodies recovered as those waters recede. We understand that. But I think because of the preparation that was in place, it greatly helped to reduce the loss of life in this case. Very interesting. Another kind of aspect to this whole story, too, is the advancement of technology. There was a story this morning about how important a role social media played in this, in people being able to reach out with Twitter and Facebook and let rescuers know, here, I'm here, come and get me. Also, somebody was mentioning they were using Google heat maps to try to track people where they are. You know, every human body gives off a heat signature. And so they're able, I suppose, using various devices to find out that people, you know, people may be in their attics to get away from the water in the lower levels. And so they're able to use some of these, what they called Google heat maps. So technology being used. But that's where we are. Many people would say the real difficult work begins now on recovery. As it's moving away from Texas, hopefully in the next 12 hours, we'll start to move away from those parts of Lake Charles in Louisiana, as we talked about Beaumont, and also Port Arthur, Texas. But, boy, still our prayers needed for all of these dear folks.
Walker, just real quickly, I know you want to comment on what Fred's talking about. What are we doing on our Facebook page?
Well, I just posted a Fox News article which talks about how FEMA said late last night that this is going to be a many-year, that's a quote there, many-year recovery.
M-A-N-Y, not M-I-N-I, right?
No, right. This is going to take many years to recover.
Mm-hmm.
And what I wanted to add to that is they also, the officials in Texas also came out yesterday and said that they, that in total, in the flooded areas, the affected areas, there were upwards of 13,000 to 14,000 people rescued.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a lot of people. Mm-hmm. That's not a neighborhood. That's half a city, not for Houston, but in a small town, that's half the city. So 13,000 people rescued. So you just think about how many homes that might be,
mm-hmm.
you know, maybe that's thousands of homes affected here.
Yeah. And you know, We need to sort of give credit, obviously, to first responders, to National Guard people who have moved in. They're taking soldiers and equipment from Fort Hood down in Killeen, down into the Houston area to help in the rescue. But the story is, when the history is written of this, there'll also be such a key role played by private citizens who, driving from various parts of the country, have taken their boats down there to go in and rescue people.
Mm-hmm.
Many of the, as I was tracking with this, with the television coverage yesterday afternoon, in many cases they were tracking these private citizens who have come in with their boats to rescue people still in their houses. And so, you know, as President Trump said yesterday, as the governor, Governor Abbott of Texas has said, and now the governor of Louisiana, couldn't do it without the help of citizens. And as I say, citizens coming in from all over the country.
Mm-hmm.
Want to mention one in particular. There was some criticism yesterday in certain media of Joel Osteen and his church there in the Houston area. There was an allegation that the church had not been open to people. Joel Osteen was on Fox and Friends this morning saying they couldn't open right away because of flooding even around their property there. Their church seats 16,000 people or something of that nature. But they're now open, and they are now taking people in and collecting items, food items, clothing items, et cetera, for people. So
yeah, I was reading about that too. you know, it's the Compact Center, I think, in downtown, or I don't know where it is exactly in Houston, but it's a former arena for professional basketball team, the Rockets, that was turned into Lakewood Church. That's a bad name for a church right now in Houston, huh? But a little dark humor there, folks. My apologies. But the point is, you know, I read the criticisms that Joel Osteen was getting for that. But you can't just – a lot of the people that were – I saw on – Twitter or whatever that were criticizing him last night, they're just looking for an excuse to criticize somebody that's a Christian leader. So it's hard to make a call on those kinds of things. You have a building, and you don't just want to open the doors up and say, everybody come in, do what you want to, because we see what happened to the Superdome when they did that. So you have to have some order and some security in place. So, they've opened that church now.
What you have is, and put it this way, if Samaritan's Purse and 8 Days of Hope can't get in and open up a shelter somewhere, a church on the corner can't do it either, not effectively. So so what you have is the church may be flooded, around it may be flooded. You've got the entire staff of the church, their houses are flooded.
Right.
So what do you do? Just say, all right, y'all come sleep on the pews.
Right.
And doors
no
open.
No security.
Right.
And no order. No, we don't know who's in there. So I think a lot of that criticism of Joel Osteen and the church was people just wanting to find a reason to pick on. Right. So but now the church is open now.
Absolutely.
It takes several days to organize.
It's easy just to sit back and say, well, you know, you wealthy pastor, you should have thrown your doors open day one. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about the theology of
totally
pastor,
separate from
Pastor Osteen, which is a topic for another day.
Yes.
A lot of people think, well, that's a topic for another day.
Yeah.
I'm just saying the criticism of the church and him, I think, was unfair.
Yeah.
That's my opinion, just reading what I read. Yeah. And the church is open now. Go ahead.
You mentioned the word security. Just one more aspect of this. As the waters recede, the role of the National Guard, according to the Homeland Security people in the briefing this morning, will transition into more security reasons. Unfortunately, you have looting going on in and around the Houston area. And by the way, apparently the penalty for looting now, if you're caught doing that sort of thing, you're going to prison for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Good.
That's the warning that's out there. So you're going to
Well, you might get shot.
Or you might
Possibly.
Get shot.
That's right.
Do what? I'm just saying that if you're a business owner and somebody's in there looting your store and it's flooded and you have a gun, you're likely to shoot that person.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And you know what? Probably wouldn't be convicted by a jury of your peers.
Mm-mm.
No.
For anything wrong. I'm just saying that's the risk you run. You're out there robbing people. I can't think. There are a few things lower than taking advantage of people when they're down like that. By the way, Walker, are we live video streaming
show
today?
We are. So folks can go there. Right now we have 50 individuals per second watching the show. Some
today,
are coming and going.
Okay, go to our Today's Issues Facebook page and watch the show and comment there, too, on what we've been discussing. And people might be asking, Walker, I'm seeing you in a green T-shirt. Do y'all not have a dress code there at American Family Radio?
Yeah.
How would you respond to that,
Walker? Well, here's what we have. We have a program called Healthy You.
Yeah.
And if you do if you meet in certain goals or challenges, you get a casual day. And you get to wear, this is our Healthy You shirt.
So you met the casual day standards. So
the
you can wear a T-shirt and blue jeans today.
That's right. The challenge last week or the last 2 weeks was to get 7 hours of sleep a night for 2 weeks. And I did that.
Which I find
even
an absolute miracle with a newborn.
Even with a newborn. That means my wife's doing a lot of the hard work.
You told Lexi that you had to meet this challenge, you had to get some sleep so she'll have to take care of the baby?
That was
my
excuse.
So he can wear a green shirt.
That was my excuse.
Yeah. So, honey, you got to do all the work.
Now, as Ed says, I look like a jelly bean. So, that's what Ed said. And when Ed wears this shirt, he says that. He says, I look like a jelly bean.
Wait till you get to be 54. There are other reasons why you can't sleep all night, which we'll talk about sometime.
At another time.
You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Abraham Hamilton III will be with us at the bottom of the hour. By the way, Abe grew up in New Orleans, lived in Houston. Has quite a story and testimony. We're going to let him share some of that coming up in a few minutes. Go ahead, Fred. Next story.
Next story. Well, kind of still related to professor in Florida, University of Tampa, let it be known through social media that basically Texas deserved to get Harvey because they voted for Donald Trump.
What?
Yeah.
A professor at the University of where?
Tampa.
Hey, he's former, isn't he?
He is former now, yes.
He got canned.
He did get canned, I guess.
Justifiably.
What an idiot.
Yeah.
What an idiot. Say something like that.
Yeah. Ken Story, now formerly a visiting professor of sociology at the school.
Wow.
Maybe you have to move to Texas to get a job.
Yeah, at first
that
Story.
That would be karma.
Yeah. At first Story doubled down on his bizarre and hateful tweet, telling one commenter, well, the good people there need to do more to stop the evil their state pushes. I'm only blaming those who support the GOP there. After another user commented that Story's own home state of Florida had also pulled for Trump, Story replied, yep, those who voted for him here deserve it as well.
So a hurricane, he's wishing a hurricane sort of stop at the homes of the people who voted Republican.
Yeah.
Even though he doesn't believe, he believes in karma, right?
Oh, my God.
But probably doesn't believe in God.
No.
Right? I doubt he has any belief system at all. What he's saying is, what he said was, I'm glad these people got hit with this flooding and storm, and they're suffering because they voted for President Trump, and they deserve it.
Yeah.
And the University of Tampa?
Yep.
Fired him?
Yep.
Is that his school?
That's a professor at the University of Tampa.
Must not have tenure.
Apparently not.
You know,
I haven't read anywhere anybody's coming to his defense saying that professors ought to have the right to say this.
Right.
Yeah.
But you know what? What I thought when I read this, I mean, it's so insane. But he felt comfortable enough going public. In the academic setting. Yeah. What does that say about the academic setting?
It said 99% of them are far lefties. Maybe not 99. That's an exaggeration. Yeah. 90% of college professors across America are probably left to far left.
Yeah.
So
talk about statements of hate.
Yeah. Yeah. Wishing people die. Southern Poverty Law Center needs to put this guy on their hate list.
Yeah.
Their hate group list.
And what's so unfortunate, and it shows the state of our culture, is can we not escape politics for a week when people are down there dying and their homes are their lives are destroyed?
I know the liberal media, some of them were criticizing the First Lady yesterday. I saw that for. She was wearing, when she left the White House, she was wearing high heels.
Yes.
Oh, and, my. And I saw that.
Yeah, but when she got to Texas, she had changed over to.
She had sneakers on.
Tennis shoes. Yeah, or sneakers.
Tennis shoes
so,
on.
So, but they were criticizing her for wearing the high heels. You know, my wife, Allison, last night we were on the patio talking about this, where a lot of the world's problems could be solved if only people would listen to what we discussed on the patio.
There you go.
At night.
A new show coming to American Family Radio.
Well, Tim and Allison on the patio, solve the world's problems. But anyway, we were talking about this last night, and Allison was making a point that these models, like, Melania, the First Lady, high heels are a way of life. She says a lot of these, that's all they grow up. Mm-hmm. That's all they know. So, but the fact is that she changed out of those. What the liberal media was trying to say was, here's this rich woman who can't identify with the people in Houston. And she's so insensitive, she wears wealthy clothing. I'm just saying, they were looking on.
Yeah.
It's pile on Trump every day, all day.
And what I would say, where are you?
Huh?
You're in your studio in New York.
Right, wearing your high heels.
Why don't you go down and get people out of their homes in Houston?
Yeah. Right, but she did change, for what it's worth.
Yeah.
Not that I care.
Yeah.
And I don't think most people in Texas care what the woman wears if she's coming down there with the president to try to help the people in need.
Yeah.
But the liberal media, they got it. They don't want to give credit to President Trump for handling this response, so they want us. How can we beat them up today? Oh yeah, let's go after the First Lady's shoes. Let's do that. We'll be back in a moment.
As we pray for the people of Houston and Southeast Texas, 8 Days of Hope is mounting a relief operation following Hurricane Harvey, and you can help. Next Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, American Family Radio will give you the opportunity to lend your financial support. AFA has partnered with the trustworthy ministry of 8 Days of Hope for years, and we encourage you to give $25 or more. Be listening next Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday as we support 8 Days of Hope in Hurricane Harvey disaster relief.
You know, the Bible describes Jesus' last days on planet Earth. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman with American Family Association and American Family Radio. We're going to Israel, the Holy Land, March 8th through the 16th. And we'll be visiting those places that the Bible mentions in Jesus' last days, including his time in the Garden of Gethsemane, which is on the Mount of Olives. We're also going to go to the house of Caiaphas and see the very steps that Jesus walked on his way there from the Garden of Gethsemane. And then finally, that day we'll be going to the Via Dolorosa, the path that Jesus walked to the cross. So it's going to be a fantastic time in Israel as we see what happened to Jesus and we talk about the hope that we have in his resurrection. For more information, go to the website twholyland.com. That's twholyland.com or call 800-FAMILIES, option 5. 1-800-FAMILIES, option 5.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Liberty University is preparing students to enter a competitive job market. They have a low student-to-professor ratio, a caring Christian faculty, and more than 550 programs of study, ranging from undergraduate certificates to doctoral degrees. As the largest Christian university in the world, Liberty continues to establish itself as both a leading liberal arts university and an institution dedicated to the Christian faith. Learn more at liberty.edu. That's liberty.edu. I've often wondered why conservatives and Christians back away from defending their constitutional rights. When push comes to shove, many people of faith allow themselves to be shoved. The other day on my national talk show, a caller told me she took down an American flag in her store. A customer complained, threatened to make problems on Facebook unless she complied. So the store owner backed down. Another caller refused to do an interview with a local newspaper, fearful they might object to her conservative beliefs. In other words, the left has bullied us into submission. They know if they can paint the opposition as a bunch of xenophobic, homophobic racists, they can silence us. And when that happens, they win the day. Don't let that happen. It may be scary, there may be consequences, but we must stand firm in our faith and the Constitution. So let not your heart be troubled, America. I'm Todd Starnes.
Brian Fisher here. It is time for an I Am Spartacus moment for every high school football coach in America. I'll explain. Donald Trump is the target of a coup from people in his inner circle, and a young mother in Houston lets CNN have it. We've got sound. That and more on Focal Point at 105 Central.
This is today's issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of today's issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of today's issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I am Tim Wildman. We appreciate you listening wherever you may be tuned in across the good old U.S. of A. This is a great gathering place for Christians who love God, love the Bible, love our country, love your family. That's what we're about here, good old-fashioned traditional values. We're unapologetically patriotic. We love our country, and we love the Lord, and we love the Lord first, and then we love our country second, mm-hmm. and our family as well. Don't write me with Tim, you got your priorities out of order, because I think you know what I'm talking about, right?
Right.
Okay. I wanted to mention two things, one other thing here. I just learned that we lost power at our station in that reaches Port Arthur. Our station, of course, people aren't interested in listening to the radio necessarily when they're trying to save their homes, but I'm just saying we've had three stations impacted, our Corpus Christi station, our Victoria, Texas station, and now our station there in the Port Arthur area. So But the most important thing is the praying for them and helping the people who are suffering, praying for and helping the people who are suffering as a result of this storm. Well, I'm Tim with Walker and Fred. As promised, Abe is in with us, Abe Hamilton, who joins us on Thursdays. Abe, I know you probably, pardon me?
Wednesdays. Today's Wednesday.
You know, I did that to see if you would. I did that to
Abe's
see.
Abe's the only one listening.
Fred and Walker said nothing. All the days start running together when you're.
Yes.
Abe, oh, thank you, Abe. You're no correct. Problem. I knew we had you here for more than one reason. The first reason was to tell us what day it was. And you yes. got 100, brother. You got an A-plus on what day it is, okay? I've talked to you about this before, but you lived through this. Your family, you're from New Orleans and went through Katrina.
Yeah.
Right?
That is the truth. Yeah.
And you guys, your home was flooded.
Completely flooded. My home that I grew up in, it had upwards of 8 feet of water in my home.
Now, that wouldn't have happened in New Orleans had the levee not broke, true?
Yes.
The levee broke.
The levee breaches would cause that. That was not the product simply of rainfall.
Gotcha. Now, but then you moved to, as thousands did, right?
Yes.
I moved to Houston.
Yeah, moved to Houston, Texas, where
How do you do that? Did you just go down there and get another home?
No.
Or did you have family down there or what?
I did. I had a sister who lived there that I had to live with for a significant amount of time while I finished law school.
Mm. So you were going to law school when Katrina hit?
Yeah, in my third year of law school at Loyola College of Law in New Orleans.
Okay.
Katrina hits. I ended up moving to Houston, enrolling in the South Texas College of Law, which is right there in downtown Houston. And then ultimately, my law school opened a satellite campus on the University of Houston Law School's campus. So I ended up taking classes at South Texas and at U of H Houston.
But now, one of the good things that came of that, you met your wife, right?
That is where I met my lovely bride.
Right, yeah. In Houston.
Yeah. In Houston, Texas.
So God put y'all together there. So after the storm, so to speak. Hey, just give me your thoughts on what's happened the last few days.
Yeah, there's no way that I can watch the news and not reminisce on what my family and I, not only my family, others have lived through, and I still have family in Houston. In fact, I don't think I've shared this with you. I have some relatives who are in my house here because they can't go home.
Oh.
They cannot go home.
But they had not come. They come here for the birth of your...
They came here for the birth of our little baby.
Right.
But they ended up not being able to go home, so...
Well, still can't go home right now because they have to go home to Houston. And
they can't access.
Are there houses?
The house is okay as far as we know so far because they're further north than Houston proper, but they can't get to it because of all the interstate systems and freeways and things that have suffered under the deluge.
Wow, you know it's interesting. One of our reporters, Bill Bumpus, lives in Houston.
Mm-hmm.
He lives 25 miles southeast of the core of downtown Houston.
Mm.
Talked to him this morning. No flooding.
Yeah.
Kept their power.
Yeah.
It's just where the rain bands hit, I guess, for most.
It's amazing. And he was going to try to get to Victoria today. He's with the Baptist Men's Recovery Group.
Okay.
And he was moving with them today because that's where the recovery is starting. Victoria, Corpus, those areas that got the heavy winds.
Yeah, that's where the storm made initial landfall right there.
I just wanted to say, you know, we're talking about this, rightfully so, but as I'm watching, we have Fox News up on our screen. They're still rescuing folks now in Port Arthur.
Really? Rescuing them?
They're rescuing right now on boats, I guess, because they're getting another wave of rain.
That's right.
So this is not over for some people.
Oh, no.
It may be over.
The rain stopped falling.
Right. Yeah. The rain may have stopped in Houston, but now in Port Arthur,
right.
they're rescuing people from their homes.
You know, and that was something that Governor Greg Abbott, in his comments, he wanted to make sure people kept in the forefront of their minds. A lot of attention, and rightly so, is placed on Houston because it's a huge metropolitan area. Mm. But the storm covers a wide area starting as far, you know, south and west as Corpus Christi and Brownsville, going all the way up eastward across Houston, going all the way into Beaumont, Port Arthur, Texas, and now southwest
Lake
Louisiana.
Charles.
Lake Charles is suffering flooding. Southwest Louisiana is being hit and inundated with raining and flooding following Hurricane, now Tropical Storm Harvey.
Mm. You're listening to the radio program, Today's Issues, on the American Family Radio Network. Hey, at the top of the hour, I mentioned this when we started the show, and I want to repeat it in case you're new to listening to our program here on American Family Radio. We are going to join next week arms with the 8 Days of Hope ministry. And 8 Days of Hope started in 2005 when Katrina hit the Gulf Coast in New Orleans. We mentioned that. And so 8 Days of Hope, Steve Tiber, we've been promoting their work for years now. We're going to take a couple of days out of our schedule, and not 24/7, but we're going to help as part of our daily schedule. I think Wednesday and Friday, we're going to help raise as much money as we can via our listeners and donate that 100% to the 8 Days of Hope ministry, who we can vouch for their credibility, and they do wonderful work and great accountability for their money, and they also minister to people. So the work that they do in the name of Jesus Christ. So that's coming up next week. It's rare that organizations raise money for anything other than their own organization.
Yeah.
Does First Baptist Church in your town pass the offering plate for the First Presbyterian Church and then send them the money?
Right.
Not normally. Maybe they would if something disastrous happened. Mm-hmm. My point is something disastrous has happened.
Yeah. Yes.
And so we feel like we need to use our microphone here at American Family Radio. If you want to give to some other organization like Samaritan's Purse or your church who's going to help, God bless you. We're just saying we're going to offer a place for people to give to an organization we trust
and we can vouch for
Here at AFA and AFR. So that's coming up next week. But it's taken us a few days to get this all together, have the phone lines available, get our internet website set up so we can take the money. The money will come here, and then we'll write 8 Days of Hope one check. And they, so that, but 100% of it's going. We're not going to take anything out for us in all this. But anyway, that's coming up next week after Labor Day. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Did you hear about this professor got fired?
Yeah, I'm actually going to talk about that today.
Well, on your show?
Yeah.
At 5:05 this afternoon, the Hamilton Corner will come on. How many weeks have you been doing the show now?
It's been, I think this is week four.
That's right.
Week four. Yeah,
week four. And getting great response from our listeners.
Gratefully. So far, so good.
You haven't been messed up. It's live radio.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure you'll get emails when that happens.
Have you said something in the weeks during the live radio broadcast where you go, maybe you say, Abe says to Abe, maybe I shouldn't have said that. Have you done that yet?
So far, the Abe conversations have been kind of okay. Empty on Abe's that front.
Abe has a lawyer background.
Oh, so he's careful.
He knows. Yeah, he's very careful. He's
not like us
with his word usage. Yeah, we just let it fly here, and we have to backtrack.
Let it rip. I try to be wise with it, but yeah, that professor is amazing. I tell people all the time, this is a free country. You are free to exercise your freedom of speech. However, that freedom does not extend to control the consequences of said speech. And so, this University of Tampa professor suffers from foot and mouth disease.
And he's the one that, what we're talking about, folks. And Walker, did you put that story on our Facebook page?
Yes.
Yeah.
Our Today's Issues Facebook page. We're talking about a professor at the University of Tampa who yesterday or the day before, I'm not sure when he did this, had made a comment that the people of Texas deserved
Harvey
because they voted for Trump.
Well, he said it over the weekend as the storm is making landfall. Mm. He's saying it at the onset of all of this damage that we're seeing unfold, families being displaced, thousands losing their homes, you know, millions of people being relocated. He says, well, I guess that's what the people of Texas get for supporting President Trump.
Even though I doubt this fellow, he called it karma. So
instant karma.
Karma. I doubt he's a Hindu.
No.
Nor does he believe in a God, I doubt it. But anyway, the point is he got fired.
Soon after tweeting that ridiculousness, because people immediately went to the University of Tampa and asked for a response.
Yeah.
And they declined to comment initially. And they expressed their comment by saying there's no longer any such sociology professor here at the University of Tampa.
Right. Visiting professor of sociology. We were saying, Abe,
That's a limited job resume right there, my friend. You're going to have a hard time finding a sociology professor job. Maybe you'll have to apply in Texas. I said
good luck with that.
That would be would be a funny.
But you know, he felt comfortable, Abe, in that university environment for spewing that hatred. And that's what it is.
Yeah.
He felt comfortable, and we were talking about that earlier. That is probably the kind of environment that you find on many, if not most, of our university campuses across the country today, that you can
very liberal.
You can dump on people who would support a President Trump, that they're evil and they deserve what they get.
And that's the thing. It goes beyond. I mean, I'm a free speech advocate. I think our university should be places where you have robust dialogue and debate over contradictory ideas. But the things that we're facing now, that if you happen to be a person who maintains or espouses a biblical worldview, you adhere to conservative constitutionalist principles, you are immediately conflated with being evil.
Yeah.
That's not. Mm-hmm. There's no longer any reasonable disagreement. It is, there is evil, so much so to where this guy completely has no usage of any filter to think, maybe I shouldn't tweet this, while we have people that actually died as a result of this storm.
Yeah.
Right.
I know.
Stay. What do you got coming up this afternoon, Abe, on the Hamilton Corner?
We'll talk about this non-professorial professor. We'll also talk about Franklin Graham's call on the nation's high school football coaches to stand in solidarity with Coach Joe Kennedy out there in Washington, where the Ninth Circus, you know, I don't think we even refer to them as a court anymore.
No.
That jester organization.
The Ninth Circus?
The Ninth Circus. Yeah, the Ninth Circus has ruled against Coach Joe Kennedy. Well, Franklin Graham is saying all of the nation's high school coaches, after football this Friday night, after Friday Night Lights, all coaches and even people in the stands should take a knee in prayer to stand in solidarity with Coach Joe Kennedy, because they can't fire all the coaches in the country.
That's right.
All right, Abe. Well, we look forward to the Hamilton Corner of Week 3 this afternoon at 5:05 Central
week
Time.
Week 4.
Oh, Week 4.
Week 4.
Yep.
Week 4. Thank you, Abe.
All right, thank you, my friend.
You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. And just looking at pictures from storm victims there. And folks, and the storm, like I said, has gone up now into Louisiana and having the same effect, just sitting on top of certain parts of that state and dumping inches and inches of water. Walker.
Melissa on Facebook said that Lake Charles, Louisiana, and eastward is okay. Southeast Texas, Beaumont, and Orange, I guess Orange is a city in Texas, or maybe a county, are in serious condition. They had heavy rain all night. They need help also.
You're reading comments off our Facebook page?
Yes, Melissa said Beaumont and Orange, Texas, are in serious condition
still. And Port Arthur.
Right, and Port Arthur.
Port Arthur. Texas, so. Steve Jordahl is with us. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Tim.
Go ahead, my friend.
We have some evangelical leaders who gathered in Nashville over this last week, and they've issued a statement. It's called the Nashville Statement, and it's basically a reiteration of biblical sexuality in this day of confusion over transgender rights and pronouns and bathrooms. Biblical Christians have gotten together and issued a statement called the Nashville Statement, and has some good things to say, and some people that we know. Tony Perkins is one of the original signers, Al Mohler, and some of the other people that we talk to often have signed this statement, and kudos to them, I suppose.
Amen.
I can read a couple of good things.
I think this is good because those of us who are holding to the biblical standard about human sexuality, we're being pressured from all sides to surrender our beliefs.
Yes.
Okay. We're being told by the entertainment industry and Hollywood and the political left in this country that if you believe in the traditional biblical teaching about human sexuality that's been in a doctrine of almost every church of cross-denominational lines for 2,000 years, that is, homosexuality is incompatible with Christian teaching. That's how the Methodist, the United Methodist Book of Discipline reads.
Right.
And that's a liberal church in many respects. People would call the United Methodist liberal today. I know some United Methodists would say that's not so of all of us, and I understand that. I grew up in the UMC church, by the way. But Catholic teaching, same way. Presbyterian, Pentecostal, they all.
Orthodox Christianity.
Orthodox Christianity says that homosexuality is the act, the behavior of one man engaging with sexual activity with another man or woman to woman is unnatural, unhealthy, and immoral. It's sinful, according to the Bible.
Right.
But we're being squeezed now to renounce that, all right? And what these gentlemen have said here in this statement, and these are cross-denominational line leaders as well, a diverse group of people, but they're basically saying, no, we must, we love everybody. Everybody has worth and should, you know, in the eyes of God, so nobody hates anybody.
Yeah.
But we can't condone. We have to stand up what the Bible says about, and certainly transgenderism is a person who's confused, I would say spiritually and psychologically, certainly. And so we're not, right. But society is pressuring us to try to change our views.
Just to read for just one of these statements, we affirm that God has designed marriage to be a covenantal, sexual, procreative, lifelong union of one man and one woman, right, as husband and wife. We deny that God has designed marriage to be a homosexual, polygamous, or polyamorous relationship. We also deny that marriage is a mere human contract rather than a covenant made before God.
Wow.
Not, this shouldn't be controversial, but it is. It's being met with tweets. The mayor of Houston said this is a Nashville statement is poorly named. It does not represent the inclusive values of the city and people of Nashville. She said the one of the leaders of the Black Lives movement says this God, the God I know does not support the Nashville statement. That is the Black Lives leader, DeRay McKesson. So someone needs to go introduce DeRay McKesson to God.
Right.
Well, the Nashville statement is so named because this group of Christian leaders met in Nashville,
right,
to make this proclamation.
Right. Just so happened to be in Nashville.
It has no other significance, the name of it.
Right.
But the mayor of Nashville thought he needed to distance his city from this statement. That's what I mean by pressure.
Yeah.
Brought to bear by the outside forces.
That's refreshing. That statement's refreshing because we often get caught up in the arguments about it.
Right.
But it's good to see, you know, an overall, what do you really believe about everything when it comes to sexual immorality?
And there's a lot of pressure from within the church. And these are not necessarily heretics. There are a lot of pressure within the church from people we would call brothers.
Yeah.
In the Lord, but they're wanting to pressure us to keep silent about the issue of LGBT agenda, because if we're critical of it, then we can't draw these people in to hear the gospel of Christ. That's their logic.
Yeah.
That's their logic. Now, I don't buy it, and I'm not saying we should be unnecessarily mean-spirited to anybody.
Right.
But a lot of these people who are brothers, would be considered brothers of ours, don't want to talk about the LGBT movement because they are cowards.
Yeah.
And they don't want to talk about it because they don't want to be criticized and called haters. Mm-hmm. So they ignore the issue altogether and leave it up to AFA to deal with.
Well, right. There you go.
So we can get the hate label, and they don't. You see what I'm saying here?
I've seen this happen
time and time again.
Yeah. And it's important. It's important to note that we don't go. The church doesn't go out looking for things we can call out and criticize.
Right.
You have a teacher in California, walking a 6-year-old in high heels, a 6-year-old male in high heels to the classroom, and we get asked to comment on that.
Right.
And because we comment and share our biblical beliefs, we then get criticized. So we're just simply responding to the culture, and for that we get criticized.
And so I have a problem. I'm not going to name names. I could, but there are high-profile names of people that you would recognize that, again, they'll have a sound statement of faith with their church or with their organization, But if they get asked about LGBT, they just say no comment. Mm-hmm. See what I'm saying? So they're not promoting it, but they're not standing up against it when it impacts our country. They leave that to groups like us so that they don't get bashed. We do.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? It gets a little old, but that's the way it works. But thank God for these gentlemen. Name some of the names there.
Well, you have
signed this.
Pastor Jack Graham of Southern Baptist. Pastor.
They signed this Nashville statement
they
you're
did.
Talking about.
They did. Family Research Council President Tony Perkins, as well as the Southern Baptist Seminary leader.
Al Mohler. Good.
And I don't have the list in front of me, but there were several other people that I recognized.
Good for them.
Yeah. If we have time, can I introduce a new file?
We have time.
This would be from the we're opening up today the Hillbilly file.
The what?
The Hillbilly file.
That's some good music right there.
That is. The Hillbilly File, you know, everybody was out looking at the eclipse the other day, right?
Yeah.
Well, doctors are reporting that they're having a raft of people who came in to them with eye trouble because they went out and they put sunscreen on their eyeballs.
Come again, Steve.
this has got to be satire.
Yeah,
no.
This
is, you're this joking, is a joke, right?
I'm not. Health Steve. Professionals report cases where people put sunscreen on their eyeballs to watch the eclipse. This is from Fox News. Health professional in California reported cases where eclipse viewers sought medical treatment because they put sunscreen on their eyeballs to view the solar eclipse.
Okay, now there are just some things you don't go and tell the doctor. and this is one of them.
This might be.
You don't go into the hospital and you say...
Except that you can't see now.
Well, I'm being facetious, yeah. But that is something you say. Well, now, what happened now? Tell me again what happened. Why are you here, sir? That's what you say.
Yeah.
So that they don't completely understand you, but they go ahead and treat you. You don't say...
I don't know.
You don't say... Well, I put sunscreen on my eyeballs.
Yeah.
Because, huh? I don't know that. Then they respond, sir, I don't know if your insurance covers that or not. But anyway.
So this is in California? I didn't know there was hillbillies in California.
There are. Apparently there are.
I thought just in Mississippi.
Play that music anywhere in California. Play that music again, Brent. That was pretty good. I'm getting ready to watch Beverly Hillbillies. Or go to a University of Tennessee football game.
One of the two. Yeah.
Huh? That wasn't Rocky.
So that,
by the way.
This is a serious case in California.
Guarding the KRC TV. Yeah.
What does it say? This is a serious news story. So people put some. How do you do that?
I don't know. That would hurt.
Do you spray that into your eyeballs?
You must. That would hurt. That would hurt so badly. I'm thinking about that even before I went and stared at the sun, that would hurt.
I'm glad that the people who did this were from California instead of from Mississippi or Georgia.
I'm not saying that nobody from Mississippi did it. I'm just saying they got caught in California.
Hey, I live in Mississippi, and I know a lot of people, and nobody sprayed sunscreen into their eyeballs. We may not be high on the list of anything, but we don't do that.
We don't do that, yeah.
We don't do that.
Wow.
Will they be okay?
They might be blind. It doesn't say how they're going to be.
Are you serious? We don't want to make light of that.
No, I guess not, but...
We don't want to make light of that. That's a serious situation. But we just did make light of it, so...
I mean...
Well, what we're making light of is that people shouldn't do that. They shouldn't have...
Next time there's an eclipse in here in a couple hundred years,
yeah.
Don't do that.
Don't spray your eyeballs.
Don't try this at home. Isn't that the saying?
Please do not try this at home.
Well, we got a radio special coming up in 5 minutes, and it's about the 40th anniversary of the Parent Ministry of American Family Radio called AFA, and the story in large extent deals with my dad, Reverend Donald Wildman, and we'll see you back here tomorrow at 10:05 Central.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.